In a world where the average person spends nearly 7 hours daily online, few understand how dramatically the internet's power dynamics have shifted. Chris Dixon's Read, Write, Own arrives at a critical moment when 5 tech companies control nearly half the NASDAQ 100's market capitalization, a staggering concentration of power unimaginable to the internet's early architects. The book has become required reading in Silicon Valley boardrooms and university computer science departments alike, with figures from Marc Andreessen to Tyler Cowen praising its visionary analysis. As one venture capitalist remarked, this is the rare tech book that will still be relevant in 20 years. What makes Dixon's perspective so compelling is his unique position as both industry insider and thoughtful critic, offering a roadmap for reclaiming the internet's original democratic promise. The internet story unfolds in 3 distinct chapters. The Read era of the 1990s democratized information access, but limited most users to passive consumption. The Read-Write era, beginning around 2005, transformed billions into content creators through social media and smartphones. Now we stand at the threshold of the Read-Write-Own era, where the fundamental question is, who will control the networks that dominate our digital lives? This evolution reflects a battle between 2 competing network designs. Protocol networks like email and the early web distributed power to users, operated with transparent rules, and allowed anyone to build on them without permission. In contrast, corporate networks like Facebook and Twitter centralized control, extracted maximum profit, and ultimately betrayed the trust of the developers and creators who helped build them. The original internet embodied radical openness, designed by academic and military researchers who valued free information exchange. Its foundation consisted of permissionless protocols, rule sets for computer participation that functioned like languages requiring consensus. These protocols layered in a stack, from hardware through networking protocols like IP to application layer protocols like email, SMTP, and the web, HTTP. Email and the web succeeded because they were simple, general, and open. The internet's decentralized design made it resilient against attack, with all nodes treated as equal peers. One crucial component, the domain name system, DNS, gave users ownership of their domain names, allowing them to move websites between hosting providers without losing their network connections. This key design decision kept internet businesses honest in ways that centralized social networks do not. The Read-Write era marked a fundamental shift in network design. While some technologists continued building open protocol networks, the most successful developers pursued the corporate network model, a simple structure with a company controlling centralized services at the network's core. YouTube exemplifies this shift. Starting as a video dating site, it expanded to become a general video platform, with its first hit feature allowing users to embed videos on their own websites. This come-for-the-tool-stay-for-the-network tactic attracted users with a free tool while building YouTube's own network. Eventually, facing legal challenges and needing financial backing, YouTube sold to Google, a bet that paid off enormously, with YouTube now contributing an estimated $160 billion to Google's market cap. This subsidization explains why protocol networks struggle to compete with corporate networks. Community-supported networks like RSS lack financing to subsidize hosting costs the way company-supported networks can. Giving away tools only makes financial sense when the company will own the resulting network. Corporate networks follow a predictable S-curve pattern. Initially friendly to complementary partners, networks do everything possible to recruit developers and content creators while network effects remain weak. But as networks grow and gain power, the relationship sours. Positive sum becomes zero sum as platforms capture more revenue flowing through the network. Facebook's relationship with game developer Zynga illustrates this dynamic. Initially, Zynga's games like Farmville were Facebook's biggest sensation. But when analysts flagged this dependency as a risk, Facebook diversified revenue and terminated the partnership. nearly destroying Zynga. This attract-extract cycle makes entrepreneurs and investors wary of building on corporate networks. The opacity of corporate networks further erodes trust. Users never understand why accounts get suspended, apps get rejected, or social reach suddenly diminishes. Blockchains represent a new kind of computing platform that could potentially automate away centralized intermediaries, allowing direct peer-to-peer interactions. Unlike most technologies that automate workers on the periphery, blockchains aim to automate the center, putting Uber out of a job while letting taxi drivers work directly with customers. Computers and the internet have advanced faster than other technologies due to two key factors. First, the laws of physics allow us to shrink transistors according to Moore's law. Second, computers benefit from the platform app feedback loop. New platforms enable new applications, which make platforms more valuable, creating a positive cycle of compounding improvements. Satoshi Nakamoto introduced the world's first blockchain in 2008, describing Bitcoin as an electronic payment system based on cryptographic proof instead of trust. Blockchains are virtual computers, software abstractions that function as state machines with memory storage and modification capabilities. Blockchains are designed to resist manipulation through a network of physical computers, validators, that anyone can join but no single entity can control. These validators maintain the state of the virtual computer and control transitions to new states. The system reaches consensus through mathematical guarantees involving cryptography and game theory. Blockchains offer three key advantages over traditional computing systems. First, they're democratic, accessible to anyone with an internet connection, treating all users equally. Second, they're transparent. Their complete history of code and data is publicly available for inspection. Most importantly, blockchains can make strong commitments about their future behavior that traditional computers cannot. While traditional computers are controlled by individuals or organizations who can change the rules at will, blockchains put code in charge through consensus mechanisms and immutable software. Tokens represent ownership of anything digital. Money, art, photos, music, text, code, game items, voting power, access rights, and through additional mechanisms can represent real-world assets too. Unlike virtual goods in games like Fortnite or Roblox, where users merely rent items that companies can revoke anytime, blockchain tokens shift control from corporations to immutable code, making digital ownership genuine and permanent. This fundamental shift mirrors the transition from feudal property rights to modern private ownership. Tokens come in two main varieties: fungible tokens, interchangeable, like currency, and non-fungible tokens, unique, like individual books. Fungible tokens can function as cryptocurrencies, but also as stablecoins pegged to national currencies, governance tokens for decentralized organizations, or utility tokens granting specific platform access rights. NFTs represent ownership of both digital and physical items, from digital artwork and game items to real estate and concert tickets. For example, NBA Top Shot uses NFTs to sell memorable basketball highlights, while platforms like Decentraland use them to establish virtual real estate ownership. While skeptics dismiss NFTs as mere JPEGs, blockchains represent a fundamental shift by making users, not services, the owners of digital assets. Most people don't truly own their digital purchases. E-books from Amazon, movies from iTunes, and other content remain tethered to platforms that can revoke access at will. Even purchased music on Spotify or games on Steam can disappear if the service shuts down or changes its terms. The only digital assets most people genuinely own are their websites through domain ownership, which operates on a decentralized naming system. Corporate networks function like theme parks, controlled environments where a single company dictates all policies, unlike the real world where people have agency over their possessions. This creates artificial scarcity and dependency on centralized platforms. Ownership creates positive effects beyond individual control. It builds wealth through asset appreciation, encourages investment and care, and enables innovation by allowing people to remix and repurpose without permission. For instance, true ownership of digital assets enables creators to sell their work directly to collectors, developers to build new applications on existing platforms, and users to maintain their digital identity across multiple services. This democratization of digital ownership could transform everything from social media and gaming to financial services and creative industries. The emergence of programmable tokens also enables new forms of collaborative ownership through DAOs, decentralized autonomous organizations, and fractional ownership of expensive assets. Smart contracts can automatically enforce complex ownership arrangements, revenue sharing, and usage rights, creating new possibilities for digital commerce and creativity. The technology business has undergone multiple transformations, from hardware to software in the 1970s, then to open source when programmer activists pushed back against Microsoft's dominance, and finally to services, with even Microsoft now considering itself a services company. The early 2000s promised greater openness through APIs and interoperability, but the iPhone's arrival shifted power to corporate networks that quickly moved from attract to extract mode. Interoperability thrives in video games through modding, where users create game remixes or DIY components. Many hit games began as mods of other games, including League of Legends and Counter-Strike. Open-source software represents modding's greatest success, evolving from a radical fringe movement to powering most of the world's production software today. Composability allows smaller software pieces to be assembled into larger compositions, like Lego bricks. This property is fundamental to software development. GitHub hosts billions of interconnected ideas created by millions of developers who've never met, collaborating through shared code. Composability means code never needs to be written twice. It can be copied and reused infinitely. The power of composability combines three forces: encapsulation, using components without understanding their inner workings; reusability, creating components once for repeated use without permission; and the wisdom of crowds, tapping global developer expertise. Despite its potential, software composability remains limited to static code rather than live services because computation costs money. While corporate networks have failed to maintain open ecosystems, blockchain networks offer a solution by providing strong guarantees that their services will remain remixable and permissionless in perpetuity. They achieve this through software-encoded assurances that prices and access rules won't change, and by funding hosting expenses through sustainable token-based models that reward validators. Jeff Bezos' famous quote, "Your margin is my opportunity," encapsulates the disruptive strategy that allowed Amazon to undercut physical retailers by eliminating brick-and-mortar expenses. Now blockchain networks are poised to expose the soft underbelly of corporate networks, their high take rates. Networks make money by charging fees on activities like commerce or advertising. The percentage they keep is their take rate, and strong network effects typically lead to high take rates by locking in participants who have few alternatives. YouTube is relatively generous, taking 45% of revenue and giving creators 55%. In contrast, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter extract about 99% of their primary revenue source, advertising, with minimal creator funds that represent less than 1% of revenue. Blockchain networks disrupt rent-seeking intermediaries by offering dramatically lower take rates, typically between 0.1% and 2.5% compared to corporate networks' much higher rates. This means more money flows to network participants like users, developers, and creators rather than to corporate profits. These low take rates are maintained through four key design principles. 1. Code-enforced commitments that lock in rates at launch. 2. Community control requiring votes for any rate increases. 3. Open source code allowing competitors to fork networks with lower rates. And 4, user ownership of valuable assets that reduces switching costs. Token incentives are the financial engine that allows blockchain networks to compete with corporate networks. While successful protocol networks like email and the web were initially funded by government programs, they might never have endured against corporate startups without similar funding mechanisms. Unlike protocol networks that rely on volunteers, blockchain networks have built-in mechanisms for funding developers through token incentives. These native tokens can represent both value and governance rights, allowing networks to externalize development tasks that would typically be performed by corporate employees. Early network participants create tremendous value for corporate networks but rarely receive fair compensation. Blockchain networks take a more inclusive approach by granting tokens to early users who contribute to building the network. This approach helps overcome the bootstrap or cold start problem, attracting users before the network is intrinsically useful. Tokenomics, the design of token-based economic systems for blockchain networks, applies established economic principles to internet contexts. While not conceptually groundbreaking, it builds on virtual economies pioneered by arcade tokens and video games like EVE Online, which has operated a sophisticated in-game economy complete with professional economic oversight since the early 2000s. Other early examples include World of Warcraft's gold economy and Second Life's Linden dollars, which demonstrated how digital currencies could facilitate complex economic interactions at scale. In tokenomics, faucets represent sources of token supply, while sinks create token demand, like water flowing through household plumbing. Common faucets include mining rewards, staking yields, and governance distributions, while sinks encompass transaction fees, staking requirements, and burn mechanisms. Balancing these elements is crucial to prevent price volatility that could distort incentives and decrease network utility. For example, Ethereum's implementation of EIP 1559 created a token burning mechanism that helps maintain price stability by destroying a portion of transaction fees. The most effective token sinks tie demand directly to network activity, aligning token price with the network's usage and popularity. This creates a virtuous cycle where useful networks generate more token demand, while less useful ones generate less. Access or fee sinks function like digital highway tolls, collecting just enough for network upkeep. Successful implementations include Binance's BNB token, which offers trading fee discounts, and Uniswap's governance token, which captures protocol value through trading fees. Despite critics like Warren Buffett calling tokens rat poison or Michael Burry labeling them magic beans, well-designed tokens can be valued using traditional financial metrics such as price-to-earnings ratios, total value locked, TVL, and revenue multiples. Networks like Ethereum generate substantial fee revenue that can be analyzed similarly to traditional businesses. Dismissing an entire emerging technology based on its worst examples is disingenuous. Railroads weren't worthless just because many early railroad companies failed. The internet faced similar skepticism during its early days. Markets have always experienced speculative cycles, and tokens are no exception. Economic historian Carlotta Perez describes how tech revolutions follow predictable patterns. An installation phase, breakthrough followed by speculative frenzy, a market crash, then a deployment phase of productive growth and eventual maturity. Blockchain networks have already experienced multiple boom-bust cycles, each larger than the last. The 2017 ICO boom, 2020 DeFi summer, and 2021 NFT craze each brought waves of innovation alongside speculation, ultimately contributing to the ecosystem's maturation. These cycles, while volatile, help stress test systems and identify sustainable use cases. Token design must also consider regulatory compliance, community governance, and long-term sustainability. Successful projects like MakerDAO demonstrate how careful tokenomics can create stable, self-sustaining systems that provide real utility while maintaining economic balance. The field continues to evolve as new mechanisms and models emerge, learning from both successes and failures in traditional and digital economies. Network governance explores the complex challenges of managing decentralized systems where traditional corporate hierarchies become ineffective or counterproductive. As digital networks grow in scale and importance, finding suitable governance models becomes increasingly critical. Nonprofit entities offer one potential governance solution, though with significant limitations in practice. Wikipedia stands as the only large-scale successful nonprofit internet service, benefiting from relatively low maintenance costs and a remarkably consistent mission focus on knowledge sharing. However, other prominent attempts like Mozilla with Firefox and OpenAI eventually created for-profit subsidiaries to remain competitive and fund ongoing development, highlighting the economic pressures facing nonprofit models. Federated networks represent another governance approach, allowing users to choose between multiple independent servers that communicate through standardized protocols like ActivityPub or AT protocol. Unlike corporate networks, which function as single dictatorships, federated networks operate as collections of smaller dictatorships, where users can select their preferred governance model and community standards. Examples include Mastodon's decentralized social network, Blue Sky's emerging federation system, and potentially Meta's Threads platform, which has announced federation plans. This model enables local community control while maintaining network-wide connectivity. However, federated networks face two critical weaknesses that limit their effectiveness. First, the friction in cross-server interactions due to decentralized data storage can degrade user experience and create artificial barriers between communities. Second, these networks remain vulnerable to protocol coups, where particularly popular servers can effectively become new centralized authorities, as users naturally gravitate toward larger communities with more content and engagement. Blockchains represent a revolutionary approach by functioning as network constitutions, encoding immutable governance rules directly into software. Just as national constitutions formalize the historical shift from individual rulers to written law, blockchains enable the transition of network governance from corporate management to codified rules that cannot be unilaterally changed. This provides unprecedented transparency and accountability in network operations. Blockchain governance manifests in two primary forms, each with distinct advantages. Off-chain governance resembles traditional protocol network governance, where a coalition of developers, users, and community members collaboratively runs the network through social consensus and coordination. On-chain governance implements a more formal approach, allowing token holders to explicitly vote on network changes through blockchain transactions, with the network automatically implementing voting outcomes. Projects like Tezos and Polkadot pioneer this model, though questions remain about optimal voting mechanisms and preventing plutocratic control. These governance innovations continue to evolve as networks experiment with hybrid models combining elements from multiple approaches. The success of these systems will likely depend on their ability to balance democratic participation, operational efficiency, and resistance to capture by powerful interests. As blockchain networks move from incubation to growth, several promising application categories are emerging that could transform digital ownership and participation. Kevin Kelly's 2008 vision of creators needing only 1,000 true fans hasn't materialized because corporate networks inserted themselves between creators and audiences. Today's social networks charge effective take rates of around 99%, with the top five networks paying out only about $20 billion of their $150 billion revenue to users. Decentralized, community-owned social networks could dramatically change this equation. If take rates drop to 10%, an additional $115 billion annually would flow to creators, potentially funding nearly 2 million jobs. The metaverse vision is rapidly materializing as game graphics rival Hollywood movies and virtual worlds support thousands of players. The strongest form of an open metaverse would be composable blockchain networks forming a meta network with fungible tokens for virtual currencies and NFTs representing virtual goods. This structure would enable low take rates, creator-owned shops, guaranteed digital property rights, and cross-network interoperability. NFTs function as digital ownership containers that connect buyers to creators through immutable signature trails. Beyond just representing art, NFTs serve multiple purposes. They're membership passes to private communities, voting instruments for creative direction, and flexible copyright mechanisms that can automatically distribute revenue between original creators and remixers. Blockchain-based collaborative storytelling projects are changing the creator-fan dynamic by giving fans actual ownership in narrative worlds. Similar to Wikipedia's success with crowdsourced knowledge creation, these platforms allow diverse groups of strangers to collectively build story universes. Users receive tokens proportional to their contributions, with the resulting intellectual property controlled by the community. Despite the internet's promise to modernize payments in the 1990s, moving money online remains high friction. Blockchain networks could make payments a public good, similar to a highway system spurring commerce. Benefits would include lower fees, enabling micropayments for content and services, and making money composable like digital photos, allowing innovation through open source finance. AI threatens to extend the power imbalance between platforms and creators to its logical conclusion by generating and summarizing content directly without compensating creators. Blockchain networks could serve as collective bargaining machines, with creators setting terms for using their work and software-enforced rules allocating portions of AI-generated revenue back to contributors. The author presents a stark choice between two possible internet futures that will fundamentally shape how we interact, create, and exchange value online. The first scenario is a digital oligarchy controlled by a handful of corporations that stifle innovation while users compete for diminishing opportunities and attention. The second envisions communities serving as stewards of a more democratic digital world, where value and control are distributed among participants rather than concentrated at the top. To redirect the internet toward a more democratic and egalitarian path, we need networks with fundamentally different architectures. After extensive analysis, only two known architectures preserve the early internet spirit of openness and innovation: protocol networks like email and blockchain networks. While protocol networks would be preferable due to their simplicity and proven track record, decades of evidence suggest they cannot effectively compete with corporate networks due to fundamental architectural limitations around monetization, governance, and coordination. Blockchains represent the only credible alternative that successfully combines protocol networks' societal benefits with corporate networks' competitive advantages. They offer built-in incentive structures, governance mechanisms, and the ability to capture value while maintaining openness. Unlike Google's "Don't Be Evil" motto that relied on trust in management's good intentions, blockchains provide a stronger "can't be evil" assurance through immutable code and cryptographic guarantees. This shifts the trust model from fallible human judgment to verifiable mathematical principles. The author's optimism about blockchain networks stems from several compounding feedback loops driving their growth and adoption. The platform app feedback loop has reached a critical inflection point where infrastructure can finally support internet-scale applications. Additionally, blockchain networks benefit from the inherent network effects of social technologies. As more people join, the networks become exponentially more valuable to all participants. Perhaps most importantly, the composability of blockchain systems allows open source code to combine like Lego bricks, enabling rapid innovation through the remixing and building upon existing components. The ultimate promise of the emerging read-write-own era is maintaining healthy civic life in the digital world through a careful balance of private and community ownership. This new paradigm enables novel forms of collaboration, creativity, and value creation while preserving individual agency and community governance. The author concludes by encouraging readers to fundamentally reimagine what networks can be, noting that what might seem late in the current internet era is actually early in this new computing frontier. These are the good old days of a technological transformation that could be as significant as the early internet itself, presenting an opportunity to build more equitable digital systems from the ground up.